Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for this morning is the psalm appointed for this day from Psalm 136. I'd like to read a portion for you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our lowest state, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And this is our text. I was a very active child. I wasn't ornery or mean-spirited or antagonistic, really, in any way. I was just full of a lot of vim and vigor and curiosity, too. And thus trying to get my 2 and 3 year old self to sit still and be quiet during an hour long worship service was a nearly impossible task, especially for my 4'11", 105-pound mother, especially without my father sitting there in the pew with us. And thus, I would move around, and I would crawl around, and I would walk around, and I would say things out loud and laugh and what have you. A number of the folks there at church in our congregation in a small town always got a kick out of seeing what commotion I was going to cause this Sunday in worship. But my dad didn't find it so amusing. And thus, as I may have shared with you on some other occasion, each and every Sunday for 2 or 3 years, my after-worship ritual was to meet my father in his study at our home and to get spanked on my bare bottom for having been so disruptive in church. Now, one would think that after a few weeks of this, certainly after a few months of this, that one of two things would have happened. Either I would have learned my lesson and started to sit still in church, or I would have deduced that my father didn't really love me, and I would have become completely defiant. But neither of those things happened. I didn't learn to sit still, and I didn't ever. Not even for a moment, ever doubt my father's love. Why? Because I never measured my dad's love for me on the basis of his spanking me. I didn't see those two things as even remotely connected. I got spanked because I misbehaved. Period. My dad loved me, in spite of the fact that he felt compelled to cause me pain each and every week. Period. In fact, in my mind, the spankings were incidental to his love for me. They neither bolstered nor diminished his love. In my mind, because of everything else that my dad did for us, for me, to provide for me, to care for me, to teach me and play with me and protect me, his love for me was a given. It was presumed. It was the foundation upon which everything else in our lives was built, regardless of the spankings. I received a letter some time back from one of our members who was sharing with me a situation she had with a new friend in her life. And she wrote, "I have a friend that is not a Christian anymore due to a variety of reasons. He doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He grew up Christian and was baptized, and it is difficult for me to understand how he doesn't know more about Jesus. Perhaps his parents didn't teach him, or he didn't go to Sunday school, but I'm just speculating. There were several compounding events that impacted him and shaped his current life view. Due to those events, he has a difficulty believing in a God that would allow pain and suffering to exist. He also questions why a so-called loving God doesn't do something about that pain when people pray to him." And that right there is why so many folks either don't believe in God or don't like him. Because they don't think that he cares about them or loves them. I mean, how could he, right? If he allows so much pain and sorrow and suffering in their lives? You see, unlike me with my dad, they don't start with this foundational understanding of their Heavenly Father's love for them. All they see and feel is the sting of the spankings that God is allowing life to give them. And thus for them, the spankings, of course, metaphorically speaking, the pain, the sorrow, the sadness that they have to endure in their lives, that becomes the foundation of their view about how God feels about them. And thus their view of God is either that he doesn't care or that he just isn't there. This member went on to write in her letter, "I'm pretty sure, though, that many Christians have this same thought." Oh, yes, they do. And we probably do, too. I know I at times do. So did David. That's why David cried out, "How long, O Lord? How long? Will you forget me forever?" Satan works in our lives to sow seeds of doubt and distrust. He wants us to fixate on our sorrows so that we see only what's bad in our lives, instead of all that's good. His wish is to convince us that the pain and the suffering could never take place if our God really loved us. And sometimes, like David, we get caught up in his deceptions. But not for long. Not if we have a foundational understanding of and faith in the unchangeable, unfathomable, undeniable love of God, which David did. And thus, even after he expressed his feelings of frustration and doubt to God, he finished that psalm by saying this, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." In the letter that I received, the woman said of her friend that he questioned how loving God could allow so much pain and suffering, why he wouldn't do something about it. And then she stated that she was pretty sure that many Christians have those same thoughts too. And then she wrote these very, very wise words. And I think that we need to keep in perspective that God did do something about it. He sent his only son to die for us so that we might live with him forever without such pain and suffering. Amen. 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 That's the source of our unconditional understanding and basis of God's absolute, eternal, ever-present love for us. He sent his son Jesus into this world to suffer and to die on a cross to forgive us of our sins, and to rise on the third day from a grave to give us the eternal victory over death, to bring us to a place where there is no more crying, no more suffering, and no more pain. God did do something about our pain in this world. He gave us Jesus. And because of Jesus, we are and will be healed. And it's because of Jesus and what he did for us that we can say of God what the psalmist said in Psalm 136, his love endures forever. In the midst of life's trials, his love endures forever. In the middle of life's storms, his love endures forever. When pain and sorrow and suffering consume me, his love endures forever. When I'm lost and alone, his love endures forever. As I lose my independence and my will to go on, his love endures forever. As my relationships change and my loved ones die, his love endures forever. When my faith is weak and the temptations are strong, his love endures forever. No matter how many spankings I received, I never doubted my Father's love. I pray that you may have that same trust and belief about your heavenly Father's love also. And no matter what sorrows or pains come into your life, that you will know the enduring love of God for you. May the death and the resurrection of Jesus always be the foundational truth that reminds you each and every day that God's love for you really does endure forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Amen.